From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. There is great urgency tonight to find and stop the killer who showed not even the slightest hesitation before the execution-style shooting of an elderly stranger on the street, then posting video of the horrible act on Facebook. The city of Cleveland is gripped with anxiety as police carry out a massive and dramatic manhunt for the 37-year-old suspect. This evening, they're pleading with him to turn himself in, while the family of his apparent random victim grapples with his sudden, senseless, and violent death. Ron Mott is in Cleveland tonight and has the latest.
Tonight, Cleveland police with the FBI say the search for 37-year-old suspected killer Steve Stevens, who recorded and uploaded a brazen daylight murder to Facebook, is now a nationwide manhunt.
Our reach now is basically all over this country. We are not going to leave any stone unturned.
With possible sightings as far away as Philadelphia, none of the tips has led to the man officials say gunned down 74-year-old Robert Godwin as he walked an east side neighborhood waiting for Easter Sunday dinner to finish cooking. A memorial marks the spot where he lost his life. His two youngest children, Marshawn and Terrell, and their mother were waiting at this home for Godwin to return from a quick trip to find aluminum cans.
He didn't deserve that. I just hate that man took. I hate that he took my kid's father. Look at his baby. And I don't think that they really have a fully understanding what's going on.
The people that I'm going to kill today is Easter Sunday. It's not my first.
In the video, Stevens, who has no previous criminal history, bragged that he killed multiple others, which police have not substantiated. Last seen driving this Ford Fusion, Stevens can be heard saying his motives involve an ex-girlfriend.
She's the reason why this is about to happen to you.
Police say they have been in contact with that woman and that she is cooperating with investigators.
Just call Jason or Gary.
Stevens also references a fraternity brother during his diatribe. Today, Gary Jackson urged his friend to give himself up.
I know you are in pain. But brother, you got to turn yourself in because you've already hurt other people.
How old are you?
Sunday's shooting is just the latest recorded violence to make its way onto Facebook, which has since taken the video down. Tonight, a city unnerved by a callous killing and two young boys struggling to understand why this happened to their dad.
Late today, Cleveland's mayor announced a $50,000 reward for information leading to the capture of Steve Stevens. In the meantime, Facebook says it's got to do a better job at more quickly identifying objectionable material like this video and get them taken down off the internet. Lester.
All right. Ron Mott. Ron, thank you. Overseas now, an ominous warning issued today right at North Korea's doorstep. Vice President Mike Pence paying a surprise visit to the DMZ, the demilitarized zone, separating North and South Korea, and gazing straight into the secretive and dangerous nation with his own eyes. Pence, whose father was a decorated soldier in the Korean War, offered a veiled threat to Kim Jong-un, one the North Koreans quickly responded to. NBC's Janice Mackey Frayer is in Seoul with more.
Tonight, Vice President Mike Pence has a warning for Kim Jong-un. Do not test President Trump. Pointing to American cruise missiles fired against the Syrian regime and the mother of all bombs dropped on ISIS as proof of American resolve.
President Trump has made it clear that the patience of the United States and our allies in this region has run out.
North Korea firing back, saying they're considering a preemptive strike.
Some nuclear war may break out at any moment.
The war of words ramping up since North Korea tested a medium-range missile this weekend. It failed. An embarrassment for the regime just hours after a massive military parade to flaunt its might, including what experts believe was the prototype of a new intercontinental ballistic missile. The concern that even failed tests lead to advances.
We're now in a period of urgency with the clock ticking. In a sense that these programs are making very real progress toward a threat to the United States.
And tonight, fears they could conduct their sixth nuclear test at any time. Just as Pence is making his first trip to the region, visiting the most heavily fortified border in the world, the demilitarized zone that divides the two Koreas. Pence looking towards the North, emphasizing what the U.S. will do to get North Korea to give up its nuclear weapons.
We hope to achieve this objective through peaceful means, but all options are on the table.
More than 28,000 U.S. military personnel are still stationed in South Korea, tonight on alert and in range of North Korea's arsenal.
Pence also raised the possibility of negotiations with the regime. This morning, he meets with business leaders here in Seoul before moving on to Japan, also facing the direct threat of North Korea. Lester?
Janice Mackey Frayer in Seoul. Thank you. Back home, President Trump told North Korea that it's, quote, gotta behave. His comments came as he hosted the annual White House Easter egg roll with First Lady Melania Trump. But as is often the case with his foreign policy, the president declined to give any specific details. We get more from Chief White House correspondent Hallie Jackson.
At the White House, a jarring juxtaposition. The president posing with the Easter bunny. But on the rope line at the annual Easter egg roll, new questions about North Korea.
Hi, say hi.
Gotta behave.
Later on Fox News.
I don't want to telegraph what I'm doing or what I'm thinking. I'm not like other administrations where they say we're going to do this in 4 weeks and that doesn't work that way.
That strategy of suspense, a hallmark of this administration so far, isn't sitting well with Russia, where there's new tough talk. On Russian state TV, a Putin ally saying, quote, Trump is more impulsive and unpredictable than Kim Jong-un. The White House, tight-lipped on next steps in North Korea.
Drawing red lines hasn't really worked in the past.
President Trump appearing to take his own advice in what you could call the art of the foreign policy deal. He's written negotiators should use leverage. In this case, that's his budding relationship with China, staying in close contact with Beijing. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson in touch with his Chinese counterpart this weekend. Fight back, the president's also advised, reiterating now all options are on the table, including military action if needed. And while he said successful negotiators should deliver the goods, experts aren't sure how he will in an intractable international conflict still unsolved after decades of diplomacy.
So the danger is, of course, people see this as a bluff, and great powers can't bluff.
The president apparently wasn't bluffing on a different topic, tax returns, with the White House today not ruling out that he may never release them. Other Republicans, like Senator Tom Cotton, are facing fallout defending that decision.
I'm wondering if you'll take the initiative to have him release those returns.
As far as I'm aware, the president says he's still under audit.
Senator Cotton loudly booed there with new questions about transparency for a president who got elected promising to drain the swamp. Lester?
Hallie Jackson of the White House, thank you. There's late word this evening that the U.S. Supreme Court is being asked to wade into a major fight over the death penalty, this time in Arkansas, where the state wants to execute 8 inmates by the end of the month, an unprecedented pace before one of its lethal injection drugs expires. The accelerated execution schedule that was supposed to start tonight is now hung up in the courts. And NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has details for us from Arkansas.
Little light of mine.
After days of protest, tonight the first two of the unprecedented executions have been blocked by the Arkansas Supreme Court. The state had wanted to put to death 8 inmates over the next 11 days. Its attorney general is now fighting to overturn the court orders.
These sentences will be carried out and that these families of the victims will be given closure.
But among the legal challenges, lawyers for the death row inmates say the rapid schedule increases the likelihood that the executions will be botched and that the drugs used amount to cruel and unusual punishment. Drug companies are also objecting to the use of their products in the lethal injection. Arkansas's batch of one of those drugs, midazolam, will expire at the end of this month, so state officials say the executions are necessary now.
It's been a 25-year nightmare for the victims that have had to deal with this, and now it's time for that justice to be carried out.
Complicating things, one of the judges ruling on one of the cases was seen joining an anti-death penalty protest outside the governor's mansion.
The judge never loses his or her humanity and never forgets that the law has to be followed.
Today, the state Supreme Court barred him from taking up any death penalty-related cases.
This is significant because at no point in modern American history has any state ever attempted to carry out so many executions in such a short period of time.
Arkansas now in legal limbo, but the executions are halted, at least for now.
Right now, the state's attorney general is appealing, trying to push forward these executions tonight. Meanwhile, late today, the lawyers for the inmates tried another option to make sure these executions don't go forward. They're now asking the U.S. Supreme Court to take up the issue, which it refused to do in February. Lester?
All right, Gabe, thank you. Tonight, nearly a year since the passing of a musical giant, we're learning new details about the death of Prince, found unresponsive inside his estate. Newly released documents reveal what authorities found inside his home amid a deepening mystery into how he got powerful painkillers without a regular doctor or a prescription. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has details.
The newly released search warrant reveals a troubling find inside Prince's Paisley Park estate, a sizable stash of powerful drugs for which the musician did not have prescriptions, discovered throughout his home, some inside bottles labeled vitamins and aspirin. Detectives also recovering a suitcase next to Prince's bed with his alias Peter Bravestrong, inside a powerful opioid and the handwritten lyrics for the hit song, You Got the Look. The megastar found unresponsive inside his mansion a year ago this week, killed by an accidental overdose of the powerful painkiller fentanyl. It's still a mystery where he obtained the drug and many others found in his home.
This is indicative of somebody who has a huge problem, because once they start mixing these different types of medication, that's when things can go south.
With court documents claiming some medications were prescribed to Prince under the name of longtime friend Kirk Johnson, the former drummer said he was unaware Prince was addicted to pain medication. But a drug rehab center said Johnson contacted them because the star was struggling with opiate use. Today, his attorney saying Johnson never supplied the drugs, which later caused Prince's death.
Authorities seem to have indications there was prescription drug abuse, so they're following the sourcing. Where did that all come from?
Tonight, in the death that shocked the world, still no criminal charges and an investigation that is far from over. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, New York.
In Maryland, a routine Army training flight went terribly wrong when a Black Hawk helicopter crashed in flames on a golf course. One crew member was killed, the others taken to the hospital with injuries. One witness says the chopper appeared to lose control and flipped upside down before the crash. The cause is under investigation. Still ahead as we continue here this evening, stop annoying robocalls. Americans get more than $2 billion a month, often from scammers looking to rip you off. Grab your smartphone. We're going to reveal some strategies to fight back in just a moment. Also, in a rare moment, Prince Harry opens up about the death of his mother, Princess Diana, why he says he was close to a complete breakdown. We're back now with a look at one of the top consumer complaints across the country, those annoying robocalls, often from scammers. While the big phone companies have gotten the approval to start blocking obvious robocalls, staying ahead of the scammers is a full-time challenge. Here's NBC's Tom Costello to show us how.
They've become a national public nuisance.
Hello, I have a message concerning important personal business.
Endless robocalls at home, work, on your cell phone. Even as I was working on this report today, I got one asking for my credit card information.
Because you are qualified for lower rates.
Robocallers made 2.5 billion calls in March alone. That's 7.5 calls per month per person. Many of them scammers, posing as credit card and bank debt collectors, computer virus detectives, student loan and medical debt agents. So what can you do to block the calls? First, add your numbers to the Do Not Call registry, but that's only going to block calls from legitimate businesses that abide by the law. If you own a smartphone, you can block numbers that have called you by going into the call history, then clicking on Block Caller. Report spam text to the FTC by copying and sending the messages to 7726 or spam. You can also download apps, some free, some just a few dollars a month, that block suspicious numbers. Among the most popular apps, Nomo Robo, Privacy Star, and Haya.
We analyze over 3 billion phone calls each month to help consumers understand who is calling.
Another way to fight robocalls? Protect your passwords so your personal information, including your phone numbers, don't end up on the web for scammers to target you.
Once your data is released, it's out in the world, and capturing it, putting it back into Pandora's box, is almost impossible.
In 2017, stopping the robocall onslaught requires a comprehensive approach. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
We're back in a moment with another big highway headache for a major American city. The traffic nightmare in Atlanta got even worse today. Part of a busy interstate buckled this morning as crews worked on a gas pipe below. It launched a car and motorcycle in the air. The motorcyclist landing 200 feet away and is now hospitalized in critical condition. A whole section of the highway was shut down. This less than 3 weeks after a massive fire collapsed a bridge on another major interstate there. Prince Harry is opening up tonight for the first time about the private pain that haunted him for years after the death of his mother, Princess Diana. He was racked with hidden grief, which he says caused chaos in his life before he finally made the decision to seek professional help. NBC's Tammy Leichter has those details.
Tonight, Prince Harry going where few royals would have dared.
I've probably been very close to a complete breakdown on numerous occasions.
Getting extremely personal, speaking publicly about the emotional impact of his mother's death on a Daily Telegraph podcast.
I can safely say that losing my mom at the age of 12 and therefore shutting down all of my emotions for the last 20 years has had a quite serious effect on not only my personal life, but also my work as well.
He's very candid.
This emotional candor, an unprecedented step from a new generation of royals.
I think this was groundbreaking, the fact that he's chosen to talk about his own mental health.
But it was a rough two decades for Prince Harry. There was the wild naked weekend in Las Vegas, even the public embarrassment of being sent to rehab.
It was 20 years of not thinking about it, and then 2 years of total chaos. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't know what was wrong with me.
Prince Harry credits his brother with getting him to seek help. He's been dating actress Meghan Markle for the last year. And he formed his charity, Heads Together, which combats mental health stigma.
Once you start talking about it, you suddenly realize that actually you're part of quite a big club.
A club with a powerful new royal voice. Tammy Leitner, NBC News, London.
It's Patriots Day in Boston, the annual running of the marathon. Thousands taking part in one of the incredible images of this day, Staff Sergeant Jose Luis Sanchez, a retired Marine who lost the lower part of his leg in Afghanistan. He ran the course while carrying the red, white, and blue. It took him about 6 hours to finish, wearing his Semper Fi shirt and a nation's gratitude behind him all the way. That's going to do it for us on a Monday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.